Hello and good evening, everybody. Thank you all for joining us on the 19th episode of Podcast Deculture. Yes, joining me tonight is Mihram.
Hey guys, how's it going? How's it going,
so,
Taimur?
After that rocky and doubtful start, let's get on with the show. We won't be joined by Arafat today. He is out in Abu Dhabi watching UFC.
Getting his ass raped when he called on stage.
Oh, really?
I don't know, they do that, right? Like, they call some of the... Oh, well, one of the audience members, or is that, like, scammed? Or, I mean, is it, like, you know, set up? I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, let's hope that he gets called up, get his ass beat, etc. We're loving friends here at D-Culture. So, as you can see that our father isn't here, the show will just be carried on by me and Mihir. Games-wise, is going to be a little light this week. We haven't played much game. Well, we've played games.
There's nothing out.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I mean,
news.
Like, there's.
Can't blame us. News, y'all heard about that. I mean, you guys must keep on touch with those things. So,
let's just do games today first. I mean, like, whatever we've played. Like, what have you. Let's do games and then continue to anime, because we literally have not played.
Got a lot, yeah, because anime we've got a lot about. And, but yeah, let's talk about games. Games, personally, I've just been busy with WoW and Bad Company 2, and these two are the only games I've been playing this week. Let me think, have I played anything? No.
Yeah, I mean, Battlefield there's nothing out, so we can't really talk about anything. I played a bit of, I started playing Uncharted 2, because
mm-hmm.
there's nothing to
How
play.
Did I go? Yes.
I played half of it, and I think I played about 5 hours into it, around about 5 hours roughly, and I won't spoil it, so I'll just say it is more epic than the first one. It is more enjoyable than the first one, so I'm loving it. I guess I'll back off here and say, like, I like the way Uncharted is implemented into the PS3s, because when you go onto the load, like, screen, it shows you how much percent you've finished of the game. Like, if you just keep your cursor onto the load screen, it shows you how much percent you've played. And it says up to 54%. This was two nights back,
hours?
And I haven't, roughly about 10 or 15 minutes under 5 hours. So it's like 4 hours 45 to 4 hours 55. I've played about that much. I'm not sure exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm not rushing through. I'm just playing through the story. I'm not going, you know, all these finding all these side treasures, or, you know, basically how you have these treasures.
Yeah, no, because what I did was I kept on focusing on some of the side stuff, you know, hidden treasure and all that crap, which sort of helps you, I guess, because you do manage to get some gold or, you know, some extra artifacts that you can sell for more money later on.
Oh, I haven't got to the part where you can sell anything, so I don't know about that, but. I've just basically been playing through the story, trying to get from one point to the other, trying to continue, like, keep the story going on, rather than just me finding artifacts which are, like, blinking in the middle of bushes and stuff. So I didn't bother with that. I usually don't bother with it in any game, because I hate that aspect where you have to get, like, collect, like, 50 treasures and you get 25G, or collect 75 treasures, you get 150G, etc. Like, those kind of achievements. I don't like those kind of achievements. Basically, what they're doing is...
Yeah, because, yeah, you're getting out of your way of the game experience.
They're trying to fill in the gap. It's like filler. They're trying to fill in the gap for you, so that the game elongate, like, so that you feel that you've played the game more than just the story. And I don't like that, because I feel the story should be the integral part, and that itself should be like 10 hours or 12 hours or even roughly 8 hours, that's fine. But like some games which only play on for 8 hours have these side things you can find, like treasures and I don't know, some games call it extracts, etc. I don't like that, so I don't bother with that, even though the achievements are there. If you see my achievement list, I've never actually gone into any of these. Maybe only Gears of War, because Gears of War I used to play co-op. And the friend who I used to play with, he wanted all these, so I used to actually sit and wait for him to find it. Because if he finds it, you also get it in some of these games, so that's good.
So, okay.
But otherwise, no, I don't know. Like, when I'm playing a single player game, I don't bother with finding any of these treasures.
Nice.
So that's the, like, Uncharted 2. That's
how
what
are
I'll
you
be
finding
playing.
The I mean, apart from the gameplay, how are you finding the story and the characters?
the story is fun. Like, what I feel, what's amazing about Uncharted is that you have, you like, in the 80s and the 90s, you had all these adventure movies, even in like recent form, you have these adventure movies, which are like really fun, and they basically have this, I mean, some of them are really stupid, some of them you have to like suspend disbelief, like there has to be suspension of disbelief, but at the end, it's fun, it's just pure like fun, and a lot of energy to it, and that's what this game gets into the video game market, and no game I feel has this fun treasure seeking like adventure energy as much as Uncharted has, and that's what makes it different, that's what makes it amazing. Like, even the score, if you see the score, it's very similar to the scores of like Indiana Jones or some other movies, but like just like the whole package, it's such a magical adventure, you know, but set in the real world, but not exactly. There are some supernatural elements like in the first one, and but like when I read a story where some people were thinking of making a movie out of Uncharted. Now that I personally feel will be a very bad move, because what Uncharted is to the video game market is that no game has brought this cinematic movie like adventure game onto the consoles. And Uncharted is basically that. It pays homages to all these 80s adventure movies like Indiana Jones and all that. But if you translate this to a movie, I mean, it's already been done in the movie format. And if you get this to the movie, if it's done right, yeah, it will be fun. But it won't be anything new in the movie format. It is new because it's never done right on the consoles, you know. And
if the creators of the game are given more involvement in the whole project, then you know, then that sort of become, because these guys were. The game itself was inspired by, you know, movies, so they'll understand what elements will translate nicely from the game to the movie. That makes sense for the audience itself, because, you know, oftentimes the mistake is that people either deviate completely from the story of the game, or, you know, they're trying to make it too hard like the game, and they fail. There's no middle ground over here. The only film I can see succeeding, which is a game movie, which ironically is a movie based on a game, would be the new Prince of Persia. Because the game should be good because it's based on the movie, which is based on the game. So
yeah,
you
I mean,
have the basics
I guess
over you, there. Pretty,
that's
you know,
true.
Pretty standard.
But I can say this. I personally can live without an Uncharted game. Like I wouldn't like if it came out. Sure, I'll go watch it. But if it didn't come, I wouldn't be saddened or anything, because I know that this. I feel this game is is very movie-like, and we've already seen this. So I feel it won't be as, you know, as magical as how as the game was. So I feel like they shouldn't. I personally feel like it's not necessary to make an Uncharted game. Whereas Prince of Persia is, yes, it is very cinematic, and I feel that would be a good translation. But I'm worried that the casting choices of that movie have got. I feel they are terribly wrong.
Really?
Like from the I feel it is a bad move to make Jake Gyllenhaal the prince, because he's a great actor. I don't know if he has that charisma of being that of being the Prince of Persia. You know, I don't know. I feel that that movie will
Who
be it won't
have been
be bad.
A good prince in your opinion? Then anybody? No, not somebody like obscure some. Random Arab actor or something.
Yeah. See, I personally don't know, but I whenever I see Jake Gyllenhaal as the Prince of Persia, I don't know. There's something that it doesn't feel right. He doesn't seem
see, the thing
that
is
type
that
of.
Looks wise, at least I don't know how he'll act, but at least as far as the looks are concerned, he seems like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and the director of it is Mike Newell. He's a pretty good director. He directed the Goblet of Fire. Of the the Harry Potter series, so that movie had a lot of energy and it was fun. So I'm not as excited as I am for like Scott Pilgrim or Kick-Ass, but that movie it'll be I hope it'll be a good movie, and but let's see. I still feel the casting choices are completely out of place for that movie, but that's just me.
What date is it coming out again?
I think it's in the. In June or July, I'm not mistaken, or maybe May end. I'm not sure, but because if it comes out in May end, it's gonna go up against Iron Man 2, which is pretty big.
Huh.
pretty big movie to fight against.
I think it'll do good. I think it'll do. Really
yeah, I feel it'll do well in the box office, but I don't know if it'll be like, you know, a good film, because Jerry Bruckheimer has not been making like producing good movies in the last few recent times. So hopefully this will be like a comeback for him. Not a comeback, because he has done a lot of good work, but like lately he's just been like going down. Like his movies, whatever he's been producing, has not been like up to the mark as we expect from Jerry Bruckheimer. Like, I mean, like, see what happened with the Pirates of the Caribbean series. The first Pirates of the Caribbean was amazing. Like it was a lot of fun. That movie was I don't know, after the second and third one, those were pretty bad movies. I feel those were like annoying movies. I was like so like antsy to get out of the cinema. It was kind of irritating to sit through those movies, because I like this first movie was so well made, so epic, so much fun, and the second and third movie were just like plain boring. At least for me, it was so. Hopefully the Prince of Persia like comes up and like it makes the money as well as like is a good fun film.
I think that, you know, this is, isn't it pretty much the entire, I mean, crew-wise, the entire team as Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, sorry.
Like the production team and, you know, isn't it the same team as Pirates of?
No, because I don't know about the whole team, but the director is not the same. The director for the Pirates of the Caribbean movies was Gore Verbinski, and who was actually latched onto the project of BioShock, the movie. Now that movie I want to watch. That movie, if it comes out, it should be an amazing movie, because that story is just so original, so brilliantly written. It's amazing. But I've heard that Gore Verbinski has been like he's been let off, and I think the guy who made 28 weeks later, not 28 days later, 28 weeks later, he's into talks with directing BioShock, which is also fine, because I enjoy 28 weeks later. Like I personally, I felt that movie like it got decent reviews, and it was a lot of fun, so I enjoyed that movie. It wasn't as good as 28 days later. But 28 weeks later had its own charm, and I felt it was a fun movie.
I felt that the 28 weeks later thing was sort of too much of a rush job. They were just like, you know, trying to capitalize on it. But whatever. Probably, I mean, you know, these are good movies that are coming up, and we should be sort of excited, because movies lately they haven't been as inspiring. Which reminds me, I did see How to Train Your Dragon. Mm-hmm. Or am I getting the name wrong?
Yeah, that's right. Did you watch it in 3D or just normal?
Yeah,
2D?
I watched it in 3D. And, oh, nice. Man, first thing is that, you know, movies that are made for 3D, like with 3D in mind, they're pretty damn good. I saw a trailer of this movie called The Last Guardian or something. It's about owls and shit.
Oh yeah, The Last Guardian. It's adapted from the book called The Guardians of Ga'Hool. And it's from, it's directed by Zack Snyder, the director of Watchmen and 300.
Oh, so that's kind of, man, I saw that advertisement and I'm like, wow, yeah, this is a
yeah.
Because the depth of feeling those things and the amount of food. I noticed one thing while watching this, or not watching the movie itself, but, you know, some advertisements that were playing before the film, was that sometimes these guys try to overdo the 3D. So what happens is that you're watching at a field, and then, you know, the main character you want to focus on, he's sort of in the foreground.
That's true.
Expected, no big deal. What happens is that sometimes they just, you know, completely throw something on your face just for the shock value, you know, just for
yeah,
the effect.
What happens is
that at that point, the thing comes too close towards your, you feel that it's too close towards the field. So you're actually watching it cross-eyed. You're not trying to focus it because it's so close. So now imagine your finger that's coming closer and closer to your nose. Now you'll realize slowly that, you know, your eyes are, you're sort of watching it cross-eyed to focus on it. This is sort of a bad thing to do, and I hope people don't usually do that. Wasn't an issue at all in the movie itself. Now the movie was, I agree with you, it was a pretty damn kick-ass movie, although a bit cliche about, you know, the house.
Yeah, that's, like, I felt like...
I mean, that feeling I had when I watched that, what's the movie called? Dragonheart, I think, the 96 movie where Sean Connery was a dragon and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at that point, it was sort of a mix between, it was a decent movie, so was this, but the thing is that this was more targeted, of course, towards a younger audience, okay. And they also had 3D in mind. Otherwise, an excellent movie, there were just two aspects of the movie I didn't like. The dragon design, which I was sort of getting used to, and the one thing that completely just, distracted me all the time was that the main dragon looked like a freaking Pokemon.
Okay, you can say that, but like,
you can I was just thinking this, and my friend sitting next to me saw, he was just, dude, that looks like Mew from Pokemon. I didn't even know what name, I just saw that, it just reminded me so much of a Pokemon because of the whole curviness of the whole, like, there was nothing sharp about the dragon, no angular lines going in, and, the rest of the dragons, they were a bit too cartoonish in my opinion. But this one, the main character is supposed to look badass, but of course it didn't. And it just felt too cute at times, and yeah, the eye effect, you could get with that. But the whole, I don't know. This spoiled the movie for me. But oftentimes, because sometimes most of the focus was on the presentation of the movie, like, how these guys are flying all over the place and, how they're feeling the acceleration of it all. But every time, like, when they just focused on the dragon and, how showing its emotions, I was like, man, Pokemon.
Okay, I like, before I get to that point, we can, agree on the fact that this was a much better IMAX 3D experience than Avatar, correct?
I would say the only reason why this was much better, or not much better, slightly better than Avatar, was because Avatar had more subtle 3D in it. This one was, and that's the disadvantage of being sort of looking, like real life, not real life, but, full motion. It looked like full motion. This was completely animated. I'm just saying that
that's
Avatar
true.
Was, of course, CG as well, but it's like CG trying to represent human beings and, real environments, whereas this was completely fake. So you had that advantage over here where, they could completely go in and out of everything. And things like, certain action sequences, they were pretty in your face and you're like, wow, I'm watching 3D. This is so cool. Oftentimes in Avatar, you just were into the movie so much that, by into the movie so much, I mean visually, not like, it wasn't a deep experience.
Yeah.
You were into the movie so much that you didn't realize that, this is not 3D. You were just like, this feels really slightly weird, but it's really cool. Whereas in Train Your Dragon, it's all about, oh wow, look at these effects. Ah.
Well, I when I was watching Avatar, I felt like, it was an amazing experience, yes. But like when I was watching the movie, I didn't like. I feel what makes How to Train Your Dragon better is that when these guys are like when the flying sequences are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it so exhilarating, so magical, is that I actually cared for the two characters. I actually cared for the dragon as well as the main character, Hiccup. And in Avatar, when I was watching that movie, I felt like I was watching, okay, yeah, this thing looks cool. Like, it is freaking brilliantly made. Yes, I know that. But I couldn't give, like, two shits about Jake Sully. Or even the dragon, the Ikra, or whatever the dragon was called. So that's what I felt like. That's what was the like the. I was trying to find out why I felt this was a much more. Why this was a much better experience, at least for me. Why How to Train Your Dragon in 3D was a much more magical experience than Avatar. Was that because I actually cared for some of the characters? Yes, the story is cliched, but I felt like the way it was executed, it was so.
Yeah,
excellently,
really,
like, executed.
Really,
it was amazing. Like the flying sequences were so fast. Like the when like, if you remember in the scene where when he goes for his first flight, when he goes for his first drive, mm-hmm. and his paper flies away, and he gets a hold of the of that like, he basically gets back onto the dragon and he's going through the canyon. That yep. scene was so fast, and like the speed, like, you could actually feel the effect of the speed. It was so well directed, and so the effect of the speed was so, I would say, like, it felt so real, like, that you are actually, like, you wanted to actually get out of the cinema and ride a freaking dragon at that point, because it was so well done.
Yes.
And I felt like why the 3D works in this was because of the fact that we cared about the characters, also that everything was in third person perspective. All the flying sequences, when you see them, they were all third person. And that actually put, like, it made you feel like you were there. And Also, like another thing, I watched this movie a couple of times, mm-hmm. and another thing I noticed was that Avatar was in this world of Pandora, right? Mm-hmm. It is a world we don't know, and we are, and like it's completely, like devoid of the realistic world we have. Now, don't get me wrong, that Hadouken Dragon is also like a world we don't live in, but there are elements like everything is like feels like it could be part of this world, except their dragons are not real, etc. But like when he was flying through the clouds, the clouds are real, so we can relate to them. And like when they were like putting their hands out like and going through the clouds, it felt real. Like it felt like this could actually be possible
that was
in this
3D
world.
Done,
of course not.
In a very sort of cozy sort of way, tangible way.
Yeah, so of course tangible, so, because it yeah. because it was tangible, it felt real, and therefore it was a much more that's why it was a much better experience, and it's much more like effective experience than Avatar. And the characters, yeah, they were cliched, and the story was cliched, but like that's what the execution was what made it for me, and that's why I love this movie. And the characters, the design, there was some artwork before the movie. The directors released, and the dragons they released were very dark. And now, if they made it a very dark film,
mm-hmm.
then it wouldn't appeal to the children as much.
Yeah,
and that's why they couldn't go with that.
They
and
feel lighthearted, but even within that, I felt
there were some dark elements. Yeah. Like there was some dark elements in the movie, in the sense like when he actually catches the dragon first, and he's not able he's not able to kill him, and once he cuts the ropes, once he unties, sorry,
nothing.
once he cuts the ropes, the dragon suddenly just like rushes to him, and you see a shot of the dragon's face right under the screen. Now that could be pretty scary for children. So, I guess that there was some dark moments, but not they weren't like heavy handed.
Yeah,
they were just subtly put in.
Like to
yeah, they weren't heavy handed. Yeah.
Yes.
So I feel like this movie. I mean, like Clash of the Titans is coming out, and I'm expecting that movie to be really bad.
Because I saw the trailer and I was like, yeah.
Because see that movie was that movie was filmed in 2D. And usually when they film a movie in 2D and they convert it to 3D, it takes usually 6 months. These guys in January decided after Avatar like completely destroying the box office, they decided to make it 3D.
That's when it was a last minute decision. Then just to capitalize on the
situation. So what pisses me off even more is that these guys are going for the cash grab now, and they took only a month and a half to just convert it to 3D. So I'll go watch it just so that I can hate on a movie. So I'm gonna go watch it, and I'm gonna see how the 3D.
Something nice.
Well, there is nothing else going on right now in the cinema, so might as well go and hate on something, and laugh at people who going for cash grabs. That's what I take it as. It pisses me off to no end when some people go for a cash grab and unnecessarily just fail at that. When it was filmed in 2D, they should have just released it in 2D, and that would be fine. So, they could have just done that.
I can't argue with that. But yeah.
Anyway.
Whatever. Alrighty then, let's talk a little bit about, is that all we've been seeing?
No, we have a lot of anime.
Okay, yeah. So let's get on with anime now. We're done with this.
Yeah, I mean the game section. We certainly just like went on to the watching section without actually saying we already into the what we've been watching segment. Anyway,
nice segue.
You wanna
whatever.
You wanna go first or?
Okay, I'll go first since you're right. Talking nonstop. All right, so. I have been watching two new animes this week. One is Hero Man, because, you know, there was a lot of buzz around it. And it's a production, well, not a production, it's a combo, well, yeah, you can say it's a partnership between Studio Bones as well as Stan Lee. of the...
I remember reading Bones and then I remember reading the premise and I'm like, holy shit, why are they even doing this? Because the premise looked kind of meh, you know?
Meh? This is the definition of cliché. Alright, so let's begin with that since I'm already on it. The anime starts with some dude, some guy is sending a message in space about, you know, we are the third planet of the solar system. If you hear us, you know, like, get in touch with us. We're like peaceful people, blah, blah, blah. Aliens here and they're like, yeah, okay, time to kick their asses. So aliens are on their way.
Okay.
I'll switch back to Earth, right? So you got like this, what looks like a girl with a tomboy haircut. And so the person is walking on the street and then some other girl comes in. Like, okay, this person looks like a girl, the one who just joined him. And she's like, you know, so what's happening? They're apparently both going to school. And our main hero's name is Joey Jones. And he sounds like a girl. I think the voice actress, the CEO...
his name is even cliche.
I'll come to that. The voice actress, I'm pretty sure that dude's actor is an actress, voice actress, and the design Bond has done on that person looks so feminine. Okay, here's the silly thing, right? Joey is walking outside of his home. He lives with his grandma. And when he's walking out, he's packing his bag and running off to school. He glances at this photo of some dude who's like, you know, in some coveralls and all messy and stuff. Looks like a father and daughter picture. Now, I'm saying daughter because they're like, you know, nice golden locks of hairs over there. And that girl in the picture looks like Joey. I think it does. So I'm thinking that Joey cut off her hair and she's posing to be a boy. I don't know why.
Interesting.
But this all stupid theory goes to shit. Damn you, Bones. Because later on it turns out he is a boy because, you know, he's like getting beat up and shit and, you know, that girl's really into him and it turns out that, you know, he's also slightly, you know, interested in that girl.
Whatever. I think you're digging too deep into his gender.
It just looks so much like a girl. It is so bad. Damn you, Bones. Anyways, whatever. So the story goes that, you know, he's in the school. He's living with his grandma. Parents are dead. He's working part-time in some local restaurant trying to make up money and, you know, live with his grandma and pay fees for school.
The works.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. My grandma must be getting, you know, some, what's it called, pension or something. Because the whole story takes place in some West Coast city in U.S. So he's walking to the school with this girl and then her brother and his gang comes up and he's like, you know, typical jock, he's like, stop talking to my sister. And he sort of he's about to beat him and then like this other dude on crutches comes along and he's got like this big ass afro. I forgot his name completely, but he's like, don't you touch Joey, and he's like, yeah, okay, fine. And then they walk. Typical like high school bullshit, man. Whatever. What happens is that he's walking back home with this friend on crutches, and turns out the friend on the crutches is like pretty badass. I'm guessing he's on crutches because he got like had an accident or something. Not sure. And they're walking.
Well, he
back
had a
home.
Fight.
He, like, I don't. They're walking back home. On the way home, they see this the girl's brother. His couple of friends. They're all like rich kids, and he's got like this new toy. So what happens is that he says, oh, look at my new toy, look at my new toy. It's like a miniature, you know, some robot, like an Aibo, like the Japanese robot, but they're calling it Heibo. Like literally it's called Heibo. Whatever. So they're playing around with it and, you know, all of them, they want to like grab a hold of the remote control because they all want to play with it. And, you know, everybody's like going for the remote. Robot just suddenly activates, walks onto the road, gets it by a car, bam. Dude's like, whatever, my dad'll buy me a new one, throws it in the trash. Joey walked over, he's like, yeah, so he threw it away so I can pick it up, you know, like, so it's not like, you know, like I'm taking his stuff. And the guy on crutches is like, okay. Anyways, Joey brings it home and starts fixing it. So, you know, physically the robot is like all fixed up, patched up and shit. And so what happens is that Joey, I don't know whether it's the same day or a couple of days later, he goes back to, you know, part-time work in the nighttime. So what happens is that the aliens come to Earth. Now, they're in the atmosphere. As soon as they, like, you know, transition out of slipspace or light speed or whatever it is, they leave, like, this, you know, this red sort of circular ring going towards Earth. So what happens is that it, as soon as it hits Earth's atmosphere, it becomes into a sort of an aurora on the top. And then, like, you know, all this, like, electrical storms and shit, they start, like, forming up. And, of course, that happens over U.S. And, of course, that happens for the city that Joey lives in. And some thunderstorm rolls up and Joey's like, oh, it never rains over here. That's strange. He leaves his daylight. On the roof of his house, there's like a glass panel. He leaves it open. Air, lightning, I don't know, whatever. So he's like, oh shit, it's gonna rain. And the robot is like, just, you know, freak coincidence. I kept him right underneath that window. So, you know, water's gonna pour on him. He's gonna die, whatever. Joey runs back home. As soon as he opens the door, lightning falls through that small window at the damn robot. He gets thrown back. He's like, what the F just happened? So he gets up. Robot.
Wait. How did the lightning, like, did it bend?
No, I don't know, man. Like, lightning, you know, travels in, like, forms. The lightning just...
Yeah, but like, it can't just suddenly bend and go into the window. It, like, it'll go straight onto the ground,
the
right?
Go through the window. Okay. Yeah, it touches the ground, and on the ground is the freaking robot. The broken robot. So anyways, what happens is that as soon as it hits the ground, I mean, as soon as it hits the robot activates the remote that Joey had, the remote control. It was like, now suddenly the LED screen on that lights up, and the face of that robot comes up like some Transformer icon. And then Joey's like, what the hell is this? Anyways, he's looking at it, and then the robot expands. It enlarges into like some 3, 4, 5 feet thing, enough that it's big enough, like it's covering the whole room, and the head like sort of stretches up above the room. So, meanwhile, Joey is freaking out, like trying to figure out what the F just happened. On the other side of town, a tanker, you know, like the girl who was walking with him during school, she gets picked up by his dad, and then they're driving
the
down.
Joke sister.
Yeah, slippery road, tanker gets, you know, like hit, is like lying on the side. The girl, she's going in car with his dad, out of control, whatever. They crash into the tanker. There's a big ass explosion. And then, you know, the robot looks in that direction as soon as this explosion happens. And Joey's like, what is going on? And then the robot, there's some weird stuff, some sort of understanding. And then Joey's like, okay, hero man. And then he punches on that LCD, like remote control. And then the robot takes Joey and then runs over to that place. And then Joey sees that, you know, his, like, friend, she's in the car. It's about to explode. Shit is gonna, like, hit the fan. He's like, oh, my God! And then he hits Hero Man, that robot's LCD panel, because there was a fist icon over there. And he's like, go, Hero Man! And then the robot's like, okay! Okay, he doesn't say anything. The robot tears up the car. Yeah, he tears up the roof of the car, rescues both of them. As soon as he rescues them, tank explodes, and then, you know, he's walking like a badass. Both of them slung over his shoulder.
Wait. Does he look back at the explosion?
No.
Because if he does, then he's not a badass.
No. You never look back. The camera, no, because the camera is coming that he's walking towards the camera, walking towards Joey, right? So explosion happens.
Yeah, so if he looks back, he's a pussy.
Yeah. So he walks straight, he's like, you know, he's got his shit together. He's walking towards him, and Joey's like, Hero Man! Yes! And then the episode ends, and I'm like, okay! Yes!
This is like a cinematic achievement. It's a masterpiece.
The sad thing is that Bones has animated, like, typical Bones, they've like animated it so well. The sad part is that this is the epitome of the skewed American mindset that, you know, this is what anime should be if it's not all about, you know, like something, some porn or edgy or whatever. This is what it should be.
Is it?
Yes.
But is it, it's Japanese dialogue, right? I mean, it's a Japanese show.
It's a complete Japanese show. It's it airs on, I don't know what it airs on, but it airs in Japan. I don't know when they'll be bringing it out in the US. Could be pretty soon. I'm not really sure. I haven't checked out the Wikipedia of this page because, you know, I can't be bothered. That program is bad. I downloaded the second episode just to, you know, okay, let's give it a chance. I always
in hopes.
chances. So, you know, let's see. I'll let you guys know whether next week, whether it's a definite no-no or, you know, maybe it might get interesting. So that's my first anime of the new spring season that I've seen called Hero Man. Sucks ass. Wait until morning next week, and then, you know, most likely it'll keep on sucking ass.
I mean, the name is Hero Man. Hero Man, like, go figure.
And the hero and the robot design is so freaking lame. Oh man, like it's like this. I don't even want to explain it. Just like watch pictures or something. The robot design is like completely. Whatever. I probably wanted to cash in. They're like, yeah, okay, we'll team up with you guys. But it's a sad thing, and I'm pretty sure these guys must have approached Production IG, and they were smart, and they're like, man, are you shitting us?
Production IG must have just like gone like ballistic on their ass.
Just spared on this, and they would have like thrown the paper back on their faces. if they had gone to Gainax, Gainax would have been like, dude, no, Standy, you listen to us. This is how you go. And they would have completely transformed the story. If he had gone to Sunrise, and they're like, okay, so everybody dies, and then they all come back. And then Standy's like, that's not realistic. And then they went to Bones, and Bones was like, okay, whatever, man. We're like rolling in cash anyways because of Full Metal Alchemist, another stupid series, no big deal. We'll do it. that was tragic. Anyways, that's my anime.
I started watching, I mean, the second season of K-On! Started, and I watched the first episode of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So K-On!, as we know, is Kyoto Animation's legendary show. No, I'm kidding. It started last season, and everybody was loving it till this is season one. Everybody was loving it till I think the last two episodes, where like hell broke loose, and blogs were going insane on and hating on it. Even D-Culture was hating. I mean, you hated on it so much, and it was just a bad time for Q&E because they had. I think they started. Was it the same time where Haruhi Suzumiya was also going on a bad like on a bad spree, or was it before that? I can't.
Yeah, K-On! Finished and then Haruhi started. So what happened was that Haruhi, you know, it started off. They started with 24 episodes Haruhi the next season, and the first 12 episodes were a repeat of the first season. So people are already sort of semi pissed off, and then four episodes in, they started the Endless 8 arc where they literally repeated the same episode for 8 weeks. Yes, they had a couple of slight different change of you know, animation frames, but people were just fooling themselves. Everybody around the internet was like, oh Jesus Christ, we are gonna kill all of y'all. I stopped at like fourth episode of this thing because I realized there's some major shit going on. People are making jokes, man. It'd be so funny if Kyoani actually does, you know, 8 episodes. Yeah, they actually did. So they were just hating on this. And, you know, the end of K-On!, the last 2 or 3 episodes, it was just typical. It went absolutely nowhere. Yeah, it was a slice of life anime, but...
But it, you know, it had no, like, redeeming feature. That's what I felt. Like, I didn't hate on it as much.
People were like, what the fuck is wrong with Kyoto Animation? Are these guys on drugs? Do they think they can get away with this? And they probably did.
It's like K-On! Finished... And Haruhi started. So it was like Kyoto Animation took a knife and stabbed it into the viewer's heart. And then with the Endless 8 arc, they twisted it. it was just painful because Kyoto Animation is pretty renowned in Japan. And with K-On!'s ending and then starting...
The top houses, I mean, animation style, almost all of their animes have become a hit. They're like, you know, they're close to Gainax in terms of, you know, like getting complete hits every time. Anything they touched went gold. And they did it with so much passion and love. Fans were just like completely in love with those guys. And then they were like, you know what, F all of y'all. So, yeah, that happened.
Anyway, so the second season started, and the group of girls we follow is I can't remember the names, but it's the Lighthouse Music, sorry, Light Music Club. And it basically starts off with the members of the Light Music Club in their senior year now, which is basic continuity from the last season, and it shows them how they've come back. Everything still remains the same. Sakura High School is Sakura High School. There's the celebration of returning to school, assemblies, etc. And the main aspect of this show, of this first episode, was that the lighthouse music has to basically gain more members, as they were in the first season, and because they are all in the first year, and one member who was hated a lot last season, at least hated by me and Taimur, was the younger high school girl who was basically very moe. And I'm not a fan of moe.
Moe or tsundere? Because her sister was moe, and then the new one was very tsundere because she was...
No, the new one who was basically like the cutesy type, very, you know, black long hair. She was the like the guitarist.
Oh, you mean Yui? No, Yui was
not Yui. The other one.
So they're basically trying to find
members because they don't want to leave her alone when they leave, because this is basically a group of four people, and the fifth one is the new member is a year younger than him. So they're trying to basically the episode is trying to find out they're basically going on advertising the club and failing miserably. So at the end of the that's the whole episode, where they're trying to find members and they fail. And they use different tactics, but they fail again. And they end up like the youngest member, Azu Nyan. That's what they keep calling her. She basically realizes that this light music club is very close to their heart.
And I'm gonna. Okay.
It's very close to each other, because it's basically like if they have more members, they won't be able to have all these they won't be able to laze around as much as they do. And she doesn't want that to basically go away. She wants them to remain the same. And so she basically comes up finally, at the end of the episode, this is not a spoiler because it's the first episode, and she ends up saying that it's fine, let's just keep it this way, five people, it's enough, we'll keep rocking it, taking on music however we want. So that's basically the episode. It does nothing new. It's typical K-On. I for what it was, enjoyed it, because it was typical K-On. I mean, it's the first episode, so I gave it a pass. I did not hate K-On at the end as much as everybody else did. Let me just say that. I just felt indifferent to it. I was like, okay, whatever. I did not expect it to happen. I didn't expect it to basically end up nowhere. Because basically, in the last three episodes of last season, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. And
yeah, this is what
you could say...
Started.
Yeah. This is why.
I mean, there was nothing wrong with people.
I guess K-On is consistent, and nothing much happens in this episode except for the fact that they realize that they should the group of five they have is tight, and it's good like that, and that's how the episode ended. Now I'll be watching this show, and I'll continue watching this show, because I enjoyed it for what it was. I basically felt indifferent to it. I couldn't. I don't know what they'll do, what they'll have to do to get it back up onto the scene, and basically all high and mighty, because again the rating, it got it over 8, it got an 8 plus rating on IMDb. It wasn't shocking to me, because I knew this is like fanboyist, these ratings are fanboyist, but I was surprised by the fact that it got an 8, because it I mean, the last three episodes of last season were basically nothing, and this episode was also nothing again, and they accepted this now. So I don't know what the hate was the last season. Maybe because it is ending, and they wanted some sort of revelation, or I don't know what can you do with this show rather than end it like that. I personally don't know, so I can't answer that. But they seriously have to take this show and do something with. Like they have to do something new with it, because this season is 24 episodes. It's not 12 episodes.
Uh-huh.
It is 24 episodes. So, if they keep going on the way they have been going on, they are going to get. There's going to be like hell is going to break loose again. And so yeah, I mean, check it out. It's not a bad episode. It has the same energy like the old K-On episodes, but it's only the first one. So don't expect much out of it. I would still recommend it to people. I mean, like for what it ran, it was funny, it was fun. But like there is nothing much that happened in the first episode. At least I didn't feel that like nothing major happens. And there are no new characters introduced. All the characters are just being reintroduced. Like they're just getting all the old characters back, so that the season can continue. So yeah, I watched K-On! To you. You want to talk about the second anime you talked about? You watched?
Yes, the second anime that I watched was, wait, just let me get the name right before I completely destroy its name. Yes, it was called Ichiban Ushiro no Daimao. Alright, that was a handful. what this anime is about is, it's a typical harem in a magical school setting. So that in itself may turn off a lot of people, but hear me out. And it's got a lot of edgy comedy as well. Again, let me finish before you guys write it off. Okay, so here's the thing, yeah? When you start the anime, it's completely established that, you know, magic exists in the world and all that crap. And you have, like, difficult classes of magic and, you know, different types of users of magic. So this dude over here, he is going to a big city to study for magic. actually, the anime starts, like dark, rainy, thunderstormy night, like some woman is leaving a baby cot in front of a church door, I guess. And she's like, I hope you grow big and strong enough to meet your destiny. And then she sort of covers him up and leaves a note maybe. And then she's like, you know, gone. Maybe that's her mother, his mother. I'm not sure. Anyways, whatever. X number of years later, I'm thinking the dude is probably like 16 or something. Well, 15 maybe. He is visiting this new city and like to study over there. So he's walking on the train station or...
What's the main character's name? Like, what's the protagonist's name?
Sai Akuto.
Okay.
So anyways, not that that would have made a difference. Anywho, so he's getting up the stairs and he sees like this old lady, she's dragging her heavy ass luggage and she accidentally drops it and stuff spills out and he's like, you know, hey lady, I'll help you out. Those are, you know, like, keeps her stuff back and, you know, he's like, I'll, you know, carry it to the top of the stairs. You don't need to worry about it. So she's like, no, you don't need to. Then he's like, no, please let me. And then, you know, they're sort of struggling on the bag and then, turns out that, you know, the lady's, granddaughter, she sees him trying to get away with the bag and she's like, oh, dude, you're gonna get it. So she basically, kicks him in the face and drops
what,
him.
What, she thought
then,
like he's trying to...
Steve,
like,
yeah,
get it on with
mean,
her?
Looked like it. No.
Oh, scary.
He was, like, clutching the handbag of his grandma. She thought that, you know...
I thought this was edgy, so I was like, they must have gotten some bullshit like that. I'm sorry.
No. The edgy comes in the form that, you know, he's... when she kicks him, like, you know, she jumps... Once she kicks him, he falls back down the stairs, and she's still jumping, so he gets a glimpse underneath the skirt. So that's the kind of edgy that you have. And plus they don't show anything. It's like covered with this stupid face of some chibi character or something, whatever. That's the kind of edgy they have over here. So she, the stupidity gets cleared up, you know, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, you're trying to help my grandma. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. So they go on in the train and then, the train cabin rises in the air and then there is like magical lines form and the train is rolling on it. So yeah, it's the city that he's going towards is a complete like academy, sort of like Oxford, I guess. Like, you know, the whole city is pretty much the entire complex. The university is sprawled all over the city. Anywho, so yeah, he's going over there to study and his objective is to, or like his mission in life is to be the equivalent of a pope. Because the show, like, you know, when he says, I want to be this guy, so, you know, like, he, like, imagines, like, himself wearing, like, you know, Pope robes and, you know, that hat the Pope wears, and he, like, you know, oh, I'm so good, I'm, like, you know, so, like, good. And
he wants to be the Pope for the wrong reasons.
He wants to be the Pope to be a good guy, to, you know, like, bring a change of...
Yeah, I mean, good guy, but, like, he considers it, like, a high and mighty position.
And like in that magical city, which it is, and even in real life, isn't the Pope the ultimate? Like,
he's not considered a badass, you know?
Oh no, he's not trying to be a badass over here. He is just a regular dude, like somebody from a village coming to the new city to study, and you know his dreams are to become a pope. And the girl is like, oh, and then she's like, I belong to this like clan and we are like charged, our people are charged with, you know, maintaining and protecting the the city, but, you know, like, having an ideal of, you know, bringing about the truth, not the truth, sorry, like, you know, upholding the law and being, you know, good citizens. And she's like, okay, you know what, I'll help you reach your goals. And, let's make a pact over here, like, you know, we'll be friends, but if any of us, you know, deviate from our purposes in life, then, you know, we'll kill each other. He's like, oh, I like that pressure, that's cool. So they go along. Okay. He reaches school. What happens is that in the school, there's like an induction ceremony, pretty much like Harry Potter. So like, there's this penguin, holographic penguin in a glass jar, and every student walks up to him, and then he foretells their future, like, you know, their future as in their future career. And all the students, they go up, somebody's gonna be a magical engineer, magical doctor, you know, that typical bullshit added mixed with magic stuff. So, and then our hero walks in, and then he's the penguin, like, goes quiet, and he's like sweating and shit. So he's like, you will become the demon overlord. And then everybody freaks out, the what? And the kid's like, what? And the teacher's like, what? And then she's like, can you like just double confirm that? Maybe you made a mistake. And then the penguin's like freaking out again, and he's like, yeah, he will be the demon overlord. Everybody freaks out, people start running away, and the dude's like, what is going on over here? She's like, calm the F down, everybody. And then he recalls that, you know, what he studied in his school, maybe, or his, well, wherever he comes from, that, I think 100 years ago, something like that, some demon overlord, he was like, you know, I'm gonna like bring about a change in this world. And he had like these massive powers. He just pretty much destroyed the whole world. But, you know, some, this group of people, they, got up against him, and they sort of defeated him in a sense. And then that was the first overlord. You can think of him like Hitler, maybe. And then, or that's what they portray him in the anime anyways. Like, you know, like, in terms of the rule, the strict rule that he's trying to spread. And the kids are freaking out. They're like, oh, Jesus Christ, you're gonna die or whatever. And like, please relax, you know, whatever, let's just go to the class. So he goes into the class, and, you know, the teacher's like, he's standing outside, so the teacher's like, okay, now I'll, like, you know, introduce you to the new transfer student. And then he's like, hi, my name is Sai Akuto. Everybody freaks the fuck out. People are running crazy, screaming, and he's like, oh, so I guess rumors spread fast. And then teacher's calming them out again. And then, you know, the girl who he met earlier, she's in the same class, and she's really pissed off because she's like, you promised to be a pope and you're gonna be a demon overlord. And because, like, the bird could be wrong, whatever. And then the teacher's like, yeah, you're gonna have a very bad future because people are gonna try and kill you. And, you know, you're gonna get, like, assassinations, you're gonna be, like, discredited every place, everybody's gonna blame you for everything, you're gonna be hated on by everybody, basically, and if in the event that you die, then, you know, don't worry, I'll resurrect you as an undead, and then I can study your body.
Okay.
Wow, okay. So anyways, he's in the class now, and he's sitting, and then he's like, so where do I sit? She's like, yeah, right at the back of the class. And he's like, okay. So he sits over there, and then the teacher starts, you know, with the lessons of...
That could scar him, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Psychologically. Like, like, you know, he's got, like, such good intentions, and everybody's freaking out, and they're all like, oh, Jesus, you're the demon, whatever, F you. So there's this one dude in the class, he's like a young kid. Well, he looks like a young kid, and he's like, he looks like a fan of this guy. He's like, yeah, that's the demon overlord, that is so awesome. That kind of, you know, behavior. So he's like, he's completely, you know, just facepalmed over here that what is going on with my life. And I'm not exactly sure what led to this, but a fight breaks out. Yeah, I think there's like a training session going on. And he gets, so, yeah, the teacher says that, you know, we'll teach you basic defense skills, magical defense skills. And everybody's like, okay, fine. You know, she pairs them up. Nobody wants to go up against him, of course. And then the girl, she's like, you know, the one who he made a pact with. She's like, okay, I'll go up with him. I could be making this up, I'm not really sure, but I know that a fight breaks up between these two. So basically, she goes on to, like, you know, slice and dice him because she's like a freaking ninja. He's freaking out, and he's like, oh my god, you know, that was a mistake. Please do not hurt me. She's like coming in for a killing blow, and then he just accidentally raises up his palm. Some laser beam shoots out of it, and the whole classroom gets spawned.
His whole adrenaline kicks in.
This huge explosion, the whole class blows the shit out. And the teacher, like, you know, like, she's trying to shield everybody because, you know, like, she is a teacher, it's her job. And, you know, once the smoke clears up, everybody, like, you know, there's chairs and shit blown off, the whole side wall is gone. And, you know, there's, like, smoke and dust everywhere. And then, you know, like, teachers are, like, their clothes are, girls' clothes are stripped off in the position where, you know, it's sort of, you know, revealing. But the main girl who was going to attack him, her clothes are, like, barely covering her. That's the kind of edgy I'm talking about, where, like, you know, like, just strips her boobs, maybe, and, you know, like, the crotch area, and then that's it. And then he's like, oh, God, what have I done? So, anyways, back cut to the boys' dorm, and, like, the kid's like, oh, you're totally awesome, and this is so great, and you're gonna be the demon overlord. People, he walks by, people are, like, vanishing in front of him. They're, like, you know, cowering aside, and he's like, why am I having this effect? It was complete. He's a good guy. You know, this was completely unintentional. And people are like, oh, he's a new demon overlord. This is going to be bad. Whatever. And then that dude, he's like sort of his mini sidekick. He's like, how can I get to the girl's dorm? And he's like, oh, so that's how you want to do it, huh? And he's like, no, I want to apologize to the girl. Anyways, he says that, you know, I'll teach you a secret knock. You do that and then she'll come to you. Like, okay, fine. So he's climbing up on vines and pipes, I think, to the girl's dorm, and, you know, that girl still, you know, she's thinking, what the hell just happened? How could I let him, like, you know, do this? How could I go unconscious? And I'm like, you know, belonging to this clan, whatever. She's like, you know, her ego is hurt. Dude knocks on, she opens the door and she's pissed off. She's like, who? And then she sees him and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Where is this, how you want to do it? He's like, I just came to apologize. So why did you use the lover's knock? And he's like, what? This is what that little kid told me to do. And she's like, what? She pulls out her sword again. They start fighting over there. And then, like, this, you know, this whole thing, they roll into the, like, the forest that's nearby the dorms. And then again, you know, she's like going in for the killing blow again. And he's like, no, please, I'm sorry. Huge ass nuclear explosion now this time around. She is like literally hanging by a thread. Literally hanging by threads on her body. And she's like, how the hell could this happen again? He's like, oh, Jesus Christ, why did this happen again? Some other girl comes in. She's apparently some watcher or somebody. I don't know, like, maybe belonging to some guard in the magical city. She's also a girl. She's like, yeah, I saw that fight, Demon Lord. I'm here to take you out. Or, you know, maybe arrest you. And the episode ends over there. So, it's got edgy. Most of the comedic elements, they happen not because of misunderstandings, but because, you know, this whole thing that started out that he's going to be a demon overlord, and most of his powers, like, you know, the ones that he accidentally awakens, they are, you know, they do look demonish, I guess. So, you know, you have this, like, harem of these girls, they're, like, sort of going towards him, and then he's like, no, please. There, some of them are attracted because he's the predicted demon overlord, and then some of them hate him because, you know, he's the predicted demon overlord. This little kid, he's his sidekick. He's like, you know, just a stupid. It's not like he's comic relief. He tries to improve the situation, thinking that that guy is the demon overlord. Of course, he doesn't want to be. He's just caught in this stupid mess. It's a really good series. You know what? It's a really good series. At least right now.
Yeah, and, it's the first episode, right?
Yeah, it has a potential to be something really good. I'm looking forward to it, to the next episode. And
I mean, it's got a pretty high IMDb rating. It's got an 8 point.
Yeah,
around that.
That's saying something.
So, yeah, especially for an ecchi series. So yeah, that is saying a lot actually, because ecchi series don't usually get such high ratings. They are usually in the 6 to early 7s. Range, and this is like in the mid 8s. So, I mean, it's high for any show, and being ecchi, it's even more like surprising.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, I mean,
it's still the first episode, so we can't really
it's
judge.
Funny, and you know, it's not it has cliche elements, but they aren't linked together in a cliche way that the story forms. Like, you know, I've seen this one before. It's very. Dynamic, how do I put it?
It's executed well, basically.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nicely done. Really nicely done. So yeah.
So
that's how it is right now.
Okay, so
that's the only episode that I've seen actually. This
the second episode is out.
Oh,
when?
No, the second episode is tomorrow, maybe. I think so. Yeah,
nice.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
So anyways, yeah, that's Ichiban, Ushiro, no
I'll also check it out. I have one more show, and then the other show which I've been watching, I'll review it next week. So I'll review one this week, and then I'll give you the last one. I think you have one more show, right? Or are you done?
I'm done.
All right, so I'll review, and then we can wrap up. It's Studio Deans who animated this. It's called Giant Killing, and it's a sports anime. So it basically starts off with these guys, a couple of Japanese people in a football match in England, and it's a match between Portsmouth and another team. I can't remember the team exactly in the FA Cup. Yeah, it's a football anime. So I'm guessing it's linked to the football World Cup that's going to start soon in June. So I guess this will be running parallel to it. So like the people in Japan and like all over the world, people go crazy about football right now, so that it builds up to the World Cup. Anyway, it starts off with the couple of Japanese people in a football match, and they're just having a conversation while the match is going on. And through dialogue, basically, we come to know like this English guy is talking about how this team, this underdog team, League Two is like the lowest league in England, are playing against a Premier League team, which is Portsmouth, and how they've basically come up through the ranks and defeated all the League One teams, and now they're playing against this. I mean, it's not one of the best teams, but for a League Two team again to play level headed with a League One team, with players consisting of basically taxi drivers and of basically just like commonplace people playing against stars, and he's saying like how amazing the whole journey was, and he's just explaining it. It's all because of one guy, the coach, who is, well, take a guess, Japanese. And so, but like one thing I'll say, the English in this show is English. It's not English. It's not Japanese people talking English.
Okay,
it's English people talking English, and the Japanese people talking English. Yes, but they have whenever they are talking English, the Japanese subtitles come up. So. I like that from the impression it gave me from the first, like, they're actually talking proper English in this show is amazing. It's never before seen in anime. And so that was good. So that's how the show starts. It goes on to the opening theme. And we come to know why these two Japanese people are in England at that point was that they wanted to, they were related to the Japanese coach. The coach who got this underdog team to basically fandom, and it shows that now they go back to Japan, and it shows this team East Tokyo United, or something. I may be getting that wrong. Is basically in the shit, and it was a highly like recognized team in Japan, and now it's completely destroyed. The fans are hating on it because they haven't been winning, finance problems, the president of the team, the president. The president of this team is in like deep financial debt. Shit is going bad, and they need to win. They need to basically get their fans back. They need to get money. For all that to happen, they have to win. And now, as I said, this was one of the high teams. Now they're playing in the lowest league of Japan, and if they don't start winning, this team will diminish, and it'll basically be a failure. And so we get this. They try to get this Japanese the coach who was in England, the Japanese coach. They try to get him back, and they are successful because they have family relations, and so he accepts. But the problem is that the Japanese coach was actually a player in this team in East Tokyo United, or whatever the name of the team is, and he was basically the leading force. He was the man who took the team and got it to the place. Basically, because of him, the team was what it was when it was highly recognized when it was actually good. But he got a deal from one of these English teams and he left them. So the fans feel betrayed. So as he's back, he's basically getting he's basically in bad press. Everybody hates him because they feel betrayed. And so he has to basically prove himself. And he's like one of those characters who are badass, and he's like, okay, I know my shit, I will... Like, he's all full of himself, that's true, but like, But to be able to, like, he, but even though he's full of himself, he delivers. So, it shows him basically walking on.
He knows
he knows he's good, and he will deliver. So that's good. And basically the episode ends with him not being on the first day of training. He gives the fitness coach some a task to do, and it's basically 30 meter sprints.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's basically, all these fans are camped out outside the field where they're training, and they're like, go away, Tatsuki. Tatsuki is the guy, the coach's name. And basically people are like all in uproar and like all hating, and he's not there. And so they're just watching the field training, and they show people do 30 meter sprints. Now after like a series of trials, he comes out and he's like, okay, he takes the sheet where all the timings are recorded, and he divides the two teams, and he throws the sheet away, and he's like, okay, you guys are the main team now, and you the slow people, the fast people are the main team, and the slow people are the people who are going to be subs and reserves. And the problem now was that in the subs and reserves team, you could call it the prefab team, was that one of the main people, one of the main stars of the team was in that team right now. So people were all like, people were already hating on this coach, and now he did this.
They're like for blood.
Yeah. So he's like, okay, we'll have a match, my team against your team. We'll see who wins, and that's where the episode ends. Now, what I liked about the show, it sounds like cliche and stuff, but what I liked about the show was number one, the voice acting. It is amazing. Like, the main character, the side characters, the English actors, everything is just well acted. Like, the lines, the delivery of the lines are amazing. It was a lot of fun. It had a lot of energy into it. So it was a lot of fun watching this show. And what I'm, like, surprised is this, like, this is a sports anime, and from the first episode, some shows, you watch them, you know the characters are, some of the characters aren't that great. Like in many shows, when you start off, you feel like the creators themselves don't know these characters. In this show, there is not a problem with that. They know their characters, they know they have these inner conflicts, etc. Everything is there. Everything is, the team behind that's working, the team that's working behind this show knows their stuff. So, then they're confident about the characters and everything that they're portraying. So it's a lot of fun watching. It was a lot of fun watching this show, and it got a pretty high rating as well. It got an 8.4, I think, and so I checked it out. I enjoyed it a lot. And only one thing I can say, even though it's animated by Studio Deen. Studio Deen is a pretty highly recognized animation studio in Japan. I can't remember on top of my head which one they've. I can't remember, but when I was reading the page, I remember seeing a lot of good ones, which we've also seen. So I can't remember exactly which ones they've done, but they've done some good work. And but this show, I can tell you, the first episode was not animated properly. Like it wasn't well done. Like it felt like Studio Deen took the worst of the worst animators and put them into the show. So the show does not look good, but the story elements, the energy of the show, the voice acting is all amazing. It was a shame to actually see the fact that these guys with so much energy, even though the animation was bad, it was still a lot of fun to watch it. So it took me some time to get used to the animation, but then at the end of this, I was with it.
Is it the character design, or is it like,
no, it's the character design is fine. It's like there was a football match, and like some of the it wasn't very fluid. Like I don't know how to explain it exactly. You'll have to see it for yourself. It didn't feel right. It felt very low budget, I can say that. So that was like kind of that was a shame. Like, because this show, I feel it's going to be one of the big sports animes of this year. Like, straight after Cross Game, we have this, and I feel this will fill the spot, at least for me. I actually enjoyed it a lot, and I've been reading blogs on. Like I basically searched through Anime Nano to see the consensus, and everybody's loving it as well. So it has a lot of potential. Check it out, and this is what I've been watching. The other anime, I'll give my thoughts and impressions next week.
Yeah, we have a lot of animes. I'll have two new animes as well myself for next week, and then we'll discuss about
we'll this. We'll do the cross game review also next week. So I mean, games, I mean, there's nothing to play. So we've been watching a lot of anime. So I don't know. We'll have to see. I think Conviction comes out the next week. So the following week we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I saw some IGN reviewed it and gave it a 93. Splinter Cell Conviction, that is, and they say the story everything is superbly done. The story, what completely put me off was that the campaign is short. It's only 5 hours long. That's what they were saying. That's what they were claiming. And it's a Splinter Cell game. We want something meaty, something more engrossing and long. But if they're going to do another 5 hours, a 5 hour campaign, I don't know. I consider that as a disappointment, because I was actually waiting for this as being more of a single player experience rather than a multiplayer experience.
Because they haven't focused much on the multiplayer, honestly, and then the single player, at least the story feels very well crafted. So let's see how that goes.
But let's see. We can't say much, but I hopefully it'll be as good as they say. But it's only one review, and so we'll have to wait and see.
Let's wait out and see for that one. Cool. I guess that's it.
Sorry, yeah, that's it. So my mic went on mute.
Nice. Okay then, guys, thank you all for joining us. We will catch you next week. You can catch our podcast on iTunes, just search for D-Culture, or you can check out our website, the-culture.com. We are also on Twitter. I was going to say Skype. Twitter, you can find us on twitter.com/D-Culture101. 101, sorry. Or email us at dculture101@gmail.com. Twitter, you can find me here as well, twitter.com/MihirJ and twitter.com/TaimurH. Spellings, I mean, guys, come on, you can go on the website and find our spellings. It's in the show notes.
M-I-H-I-S-J, yeah, I mean, it'll be in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. You can find it. So, yeah, next week, hopefully, we'll have Arfad back with us, discussing a little bit about UFC and what he saw, a couple of new animes as well, and maybe some new games.
Hopefully, I mean, May is going to be just filled with Halo 3 beta. I mean, Halo Reach beta, right? So.
And we'll have a lot to talk about that. But May is still next week, so let's see.
Next month.
Next month. Sorry, my bad. I'm. I need sleep and food. Okay, guys. On that note, I guess we'll call it a night. Catch you all next week. Thank you all for joining us. Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys.